if you take a big explosive charge and put it under a big can of gas and set it off, the gas won't ignite.
No.
The gasoline won't ignite because there's nothing. It just disperses it, makes it like a big, you know, spray of stuff, but then there's nothing to.
Yeah. Well, that's why natural gas lines are piped in at like insanely high pressure, is so that like it'll blow anything out or away before it can ignite at the critical point.
Huh. I did not know that.
I started doing the math. Yeah, unless you've got like a burning car at just the right distance.
Oh. Well, that's why he sets up road flares all around the thing, so wherever the cloud of atomized gasoline lands first, it'll hit that flare and then whoosh.
For those tuning in that aren't hosts of the show, we're talking about Joe Huffman and the Boomer Shoot.
Yes.
And just the physics of boom.
The physics of boom.
Yes, wow. Boomology.
Boomology, I like that.
That's the next shirt.
Yeah, Joe Huffman has a PhD, is a PhD, a doctoral level boomologist.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's not necessarily true, but I always find that it's easier than going to grad school is just to tell people you're a doctor.
Well, yeah. I mean, as long as you don't practice medicine without a license, you're okay.
I mean, well, to be fair, I mean, what I'm practicing, even if I call it medicine, isn't technically medicine.
Well, I guess I should say we have Amanda with us.
Brita is on assignment.
Brita was unavoidably detained.
She's on assignment, Alan. This is a new show.
It is on assignment. Yes. But we have acquired Amanda for the evening.
Yay!
And we're going to talk about a girl and a gun. And we're also going to talk. See, this is great because Amanda is a girl who has a gun.
And my shooting league is called A Girl and a Gun.
Right. And you also live in Texas.
I do.
And we will also be talking about these open carry shenanigans.
And I am neither a girl nor a resident of Texas, but I have guns and I watched the movie. So that's almost as good.
And you have a daughter.
I do have a daughter.
Who you will be teaching to shoot at some point, I assume.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she will have a gun at some point.
Well, let's see. There you go.
Speaking of, you know, my son's getting ready to turn 11.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I bought myself to give to him eventually a Ruger 10/22 takedown.
Nice.
Oh, those are really cool.
And it's a 50th anniversary one, and it comes in the bag. And
cool.
The guy threw in a 30-round magazine for me, so I'm so excited.
Yeah, but did you get ammo for it?
Yes, I have a I actually have a significant amount of 22 ammo right now.
Excellent. You're ahead of the game.
I am.
Yeah, as do I, but I keep stepping into shops just to pick up a brick and, you know, they don't have to.
That's so weird. It's, you know, it was, you know, we've talked about the ammo shortage before, and, you know, people have all kinds of conspiracy theories and the government's buying it all and stuff like that. The reality is that manufacturers are not stupid.
Yep. Exactly.
They have these machines that make ammo are very expensive. They require a huge capital investment, and they have enough. They have machines to make a certain amount of ammo, and you can't speed it up. You can't like run the line twice as fast because these things are very have very small tolerances. You know, you don't want to screw that up.
Well, they're running as fast as they can anyway. I mean,
right.
That's how any manufacturing works.
But
the difference was most manufacturers did add an extra shift so that the machines only went down for maintenance. They used to go dark, you know, right, in the middle of the night.
Well, so the manufacturers are faced with the option of A, selling all the ammo they have, which is a good thing, and then just not making more. Or B, spending a whole lot of money to increase their capacity, which, you know, and these machines, these are not, you know, 6 month return on investment machines. These are, you know, 10, 20 year things. And, you know, and then the, you know, have the ammo demand drop in a year or two. And then, you know,
well, we could turn it around to get it completely out of the tinfoil hat, you know, variety. Was the Nintendo Wii was a prime example of it. Was, yeah, like, It was the hot Christmas item back in, blah, 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 I can't remember what year the Wii came out, but it was the super crazy hot Christmas item. So it, like, was all super crazy hot Christmas items, you couldn't find it during the Christmas season.
Right.
The only difference was it oversold way more than they thought it would. So even a year after it was out, it was still, they were coming off the trucks and all the units were sold, and then the stores were empty. They never had any item, items in stock. And mm-hmm. so, but, and of course that continued for, I don't even know when the supply turned around. But I mean, it continued
until Nintendo discontinued the Wii, and
yes,
then all of a sudden you could buy a Wii.
Oh, was it discontinued?
Before, oh, yeah.
Before, they came before out with the Wii supply? U.
Yeah, they came out with the Wii U, and then all of a sudden you could find the Wii.
Well, I think the Wii was pretty easy to find, you know, before the Wii U came out. But either way, it was one of those things of the people were going after them, people were buying them, and all of that. And it's one of those, eventually, everyone who wanted a Wii had a Wii.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the market is satiated. And that's the same thing. Is,
yep.
You know, once you have a certain amount of some, you know, a certain amount of 22,
right?
You've got enough.
Well, especially,
but of course, right now, since people can't find it, just like me, I've got a ton of it, and I haven't been going shooting because I watch a baby all day,
right?
And so now, if I see a brick of 22, I'm freaking buying it just because I haven't been seeing it.
And we're all doing that. So yeah. When they're, it's never going to catch up with demand because, like, every time Freedom runs a $5 shipping sale where they do $5 UPS, that's, you know, 1,000 rounds of everything.
Oh, yeah. All the bullets.
All the bullets. That's when I stock up on 9, and that's when I stock up on 380. Because if they're only charging $5 in shipping, we're getting Reman 9 for 25 cents a round.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Yep. Well, let's play some music and get started.
Ah!
Wrong.
It's just been electrocuted.
No, it's just the wrong. Damn. There we go. I had it playing over the studio monitor speakers instead of into the mixer.
It is Wednesday, October 75th.
Yeah, whatever. May 22nd, 2014, episode, what is it, 105? Yeah. Welcome to the score report.
And now we're 105 episodes in, and Brita's quit.
No, Brita's not quit.
I'll keep a rumor.
She's. So anyway, let's get started with I don't know how long this is. First part's. I'm so sick about talking about the open carry. If we don't get to that, I'll be happy. But anyway, a girl and a gun, and those of you who have done your homework and have watched the movie that is streaming.
Let's see a show of hands in chat.
Streaming for free on the internet, so you have no, you know.
Technically, any, not for free.
You have to have a Netflix account, which is
everyone has.
Is there anybody that doesn't have a Netflix account at this point? And I don't know. It's. I have mixed emotions about the documentary. I mean, it was for a indie documentary, it was reasonably positive about guns in general and specifically women and guns. I think they had a token anti-gun presence, but they weren't portrayed in a very positive light.
No, it was a very pro gun film, but not. But it was not propaganda in any shape. It was not a intentionally right. pro-gun film.
I think I have a feeling that they picked their subjects in a reality TV-ish sort of way, where they got them for their character.
Well, there's something up with how they pick the people. If it was that, or just people that for whatever net they cast were the ones that responded.
Right.
It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Right.
But yeah, definitely the people they picked were not typical anythings. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I do go by the screen name of Weird. But
so, what did you think, Amanda?
Well, I was going to watch it today during the day, but I got stuck.
In accounts
payable hell.
Work. Stupid work.
I know, right?
Interfering with the score report.
It is. And I had even stopped my Justified marathon to watch it and then got stuck doing accounts payables.
So that's pretty good, because Justified's a pretty good show. I have not watched that much of it.
I just watch it for the hat.
I just started watching it on Sunday, and I'm halfway through the second season, and I hate Winona and love Boyd, but that has nothing to do with the documentary, so carry on.
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, if for those of you that haven't seen it, basically they go through a kind of a double handful of women.
So what are you trying to say?
Alan, at least call them dames. At least call them dames or broads.
Them dames. Oh God. I can tell this is gonna be one of those nights. Anyway, I guess the intent, the documentary is portrayed as a realistic look at American women and firearms. And they do a pretty good job. They have, you know, they have the gamut. They have, you know, it looks like they kind of went for, you know, all walks of life. The one that I thought was interesting was the black woman and her daughter.
Yeah.
Who, what was it? Her son got killed or?
No. Well, no, her
her daughter got shot by accident.
Yeah. Well, or killed in it sounded like it was some sort of gang business.
Right.
And she's in a wheelchair.
Right. And yet carries a gun. Because
I got the distinct impression that she doesn't carry a gun legally.
Well, that's a different story. But she does carry a gun, and even though you would think this would be a Brady campaign poster child, she knows that the cops are not going to be there to save her. And you know, she, especially being in a wheelchair, she's at the mercy of anybody she meets on the street.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it was definitely interesting, but I mean, I got to say my one complaint about this thing was, the idea that it's a realistic portrayal, I don't know if I'm going to buy that, because it definitely seemed like all the women they picked to talk about were larger than life. And the closest thing to a realistic, you know, female, at least a realistic female gun owner that I know was the woman who lived in, was it Alabama, or, but the woman who lived down south with a bunch of kids and just had a bunch of land and just went shoot with her kids.
Right.
And that was the one that was,
well,
you know, particularly realistic.
I don't know much about I don't know who wrote or produced this thing.
Catherine Kzubek.
Right. It seemed very much to me that it took a very urban slant.
Yes. Well, because there was the I forget where the woman in the wheelchair was from. But I mean, they did have that. They did have the woman who was the widow who ended up shooting the guy who was coming into her trailer on 911 that I think everybody who had a gun blog covered.
Right.
Back when that happened. And I would actually say, sadly, her story, besides the lethal force encounter, is unfortunately a very, very realistic depiction of several women that I know, where they suddenly found out that, oh my God, I need a gun, and I haven't really even thought about it at all.
Right. And she seemed to have a lot of post traumatic stress too.
Yeah. Well, I mean when they shot this, it had to have been within a few weeks after.
I think this was filmed in 2000. I'm gonna have to go back and look it up now.
It's fairly old.
Yeah, it was. It was like it came out in 2013, but it was actually filmed a few years earlier, like 2011, I want to say.
Yeah, it was. The event was either early. Was either late 2011, early 2012, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I believe it was. Yeah, it was filmed in 2012.
Yeah, so it was only a few months after the event had happened. So
yeah,
so she was still picking up the pieces.
And most of the places they went were big cities. They went to Phoenix, Arizona, Holliston, Massachusetts, Boston, Mass., New York City, Cleveland, Blanchard, Oklahoma, Auburn, Oklahoma, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's a fun little town. Bethlehem, New York, Kinderhook, New York, D.C., and Chicago. So it's not, it's not flyover country.
Yeah. One thing that I was amused by, and I just alluded to it, was how many felonies I saw happening during the, or at least mock felonies.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Because you had the woman in Massachusetts, and she was cleaning her little PK-380, and then you see her after she cleans it, she puts away the newspaper that she was cleaning it on, and then sticks it under her pillow. Felony.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Yep. Go ahead, Alan.
I was just going to say, I've got the little bio of Catherine Subeck, a New York-based director and producer who got her start making pictures with her father in homemade darkroom at home in Michigan. After a few years in North Carolina, she eventually made it to New York City to study politics at NYU and later at the School of Visual Arts, earning an MFA in photography and video. So she's a New York, which makes it even more surprising.
Yeah, that makes this film a fucking miracle.
What I would consider it a miracle. It's a hugely positive. I mean, yeah. Yep. Now, Amanda, your shooting club is called A Girl and a Gun also.
Yes.
Actually, if you do a search for a Google search for A Girl and a Gun, you come up with...
My league comes up first.
Yes. Your league comes up first, which I thought was interesting. It is a...
Yeah, they should sue this Subeck chick.
Yeah, A Girl and a Gun Women's Shooting League is the top. In fact, it's the top, like... You don't hit the documentary until... Well, actually, you don't hit the documentary until later on, because there is a IMDb 2014 entry for a movie called A Girl and a Gun, which is an actual movie that has nothing to do with the... documentary. So the documentary is not even on the first page for A Girl and a Gun. It's mostly the shooting league, which is kind of cool.
By the way, if anyone wants to chime in on this movie, we definitely want to hear more insight on that. So that's 214-530-0036.
That's right. It is a call-in show.
Let your fingers do the walking.
Because otherwise you'll just hear us yammer on.
And nobody wants to do that. Or maybe they do, because that's when they tune into the podcast. I don't know.
To hear us yammer.
Yeah, to hear my sultry radio voice.
It could be. You know, Rule 34, man.
Which one's Rule 34?
I don't know.
The one is after 33?
Yeah. Is that the? That's not the porn one, is it?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the everything's about sex or no. What is it? No. It is the porn one. It's Rule 34 is what. No matter what it is, somebody's got a porn fetish for it or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those forum entries are really, really fun to read late at night. Oh, I remember that 80s cartoon. Ho!
So, you're shooting league, Amanda.
Yes, sir.
Is it women only, or is it...
it is.
Sexist.
It is. It's very sexist. But you don't really want to screw with these women. Most of them are... certified instructors, and three of the girls from my division of my league are actually shooting the Browning three gun nationals in a couple of weeks. They qualified for national.
Wow.
So not it's bad. Fun. I got to shoot from a holster a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and we learned tactical maneuvers and shooting around barriers. So, I mean, it's not just...
Now, are you doing IDPA or is this a different kind of league thing?
It was like a taste of IDPA.
Okay.
We're going to run some of the maneuvers and see if it's something you'd be interested in. And I loved it.
Well, yeah. I've always told people that if you ever try IDPA, you will hate standing in place and shooting holes in a paper target for the rest of your life. Because you know, moving and shooting at targets against a timer is so much damn fun that nothing else makes you happy from then on. You're like, because you know, you do have to go shoot holes in a bullseye target, you know, for like trigger control and stuff like that. Cause you tend to get sloppy on IDPA, but once you start shooting and moving, man, that's fun.
It really was. And,
what did you shoot?
I shot my shield.
Ah.
When I was picking your brain for holster suggestions, that's what I was getting my holster for.
Okay. What did you wind up with?
Safari Land.
Okay.
It's a duty holster that's got a it locks in, so you have to release it with your thumb. Or, yeah, I guess thumb or I release it with my middle finger. It's got a little lever you have to hit on the back of the holster. But that was a lot of fun. So I'm going to go ahead and take the two training classes that one of my instructors teaches and then probably sign up to start doing some IDPA.
Cool.
That was fun.
Awesome.
So, nice. But I don't shoot regular bullseye targets anymore because I ordered these battleship. So much fun.
Oh, the grid thing.
The reactionary targets, and it's basically two battleship boards. And when Roy and I go shoot, we play battleship, and I always win.
You suck my battleship.
That's kind of awesome.
It really is, and they're not too expensive off of Amazon. But yeah, and you shoot them, and it's got that color stuff inside the paper, so they react. They're who's the company? Beechwood or Birchwood makes them. Birchwood Casey.
Okay.
Well, that was one thing my wife was talking about. It's really funny. I went on a charity walk last weekend, and as you know, I was having an absolutely miserable time because it's just I'd never done one of those before, and I just found it to be every way you possible you could spoil a nice walk on a good on a nice spring day, and then about halfway through, I heard somebody behind me, which turned out to be my wife's boss's husband, talking about down at the club, you know, and taking the first shot of the day. And I'm like, okay, he's either talking about golf or shooting. And then he was talking about the indoor pistol range. And I went, oh! So then we started talking shop and for the rest of that. And that led, like, later on, my wife getting called into the boss's office to talk about guns.
Nice.
And but she is not a shooter. And my one of the things my wife was saying was, you know, one thing that got her really interested was shooting like sporting clays, because for her shooting paper targets and just, you know, scoring a page or just looking at your grouping is as boring as boring can be, and it's much better to have something a little bit more goal-oriented and a little bit more fun and games. And, you know, I've seen a lot of shoots where you do, like, you know, you shoot at cans or balloons or something that does something rather than just looking to see how close you can cluster your bullets, because that's just boring.
Yep.
We have these other targets that have playing cards on them, and when you go in, it's like $2. You pay $2 for your target, and you get 10 shots, and whoever, if playing hearts, whoever scores the highest on hearts wins, and if you're not happy with your score, you buy another target, and then whoever has the highest score at the end gets the kitty.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
And so,
cool,
and so
that we do. I enjoy it.
If someone has a whole bunch of mulligans, does that mean the kitty goes way up?
I'm sorry?
If someone ends up having a bot, like, you know, scratches a whole bunch of targets, does that mean the kitty goes way up?
You're breaking up really bad.
Uh-oh. No. Uh-oh. It's Alan's fault.
I can hear you fine, weird.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, so if a person buys more targets, that goes in.
Yes.
Awesome.
So, yeah, every paper target that's sold goes into the kitty. So usually you have 10 women, 10 to 15 women that shoot. So you're looking at $20 to $30, and I usually end up shooting 2 or 3 targets because the first one I'm like, okay, that sucked. Let me start over. And, yeah, so you can walk out of there with $50 on a good day.
Awesome.
Dead air.
So what'd you think of it, Alan? I don't think you've given
what
enough exposition on the movie.
Oh, I've given plenty of exposition.
Okay.
I want to talk about shirts.
All right, let's talk about shirts.
67.
Is that since the show started, or did you just check again just to make sure nobody else bought a new one?
I just checked, and we've sold 67 shirts.
All right, so we need to sell.
Teespring has sold 67 shirts.
We need to get at least 69.
Two more. There are 4 hours left. Four hours and 29 minutes. So you have if you want a shirt, and for some reason you've been holding off, get it now, because the way the Teespring thing works is, they, you know, it's not like Zazzle where you can go buy it any time. They take orders for a certain amount of time, and then that's it. The thing's over and done. They make the shirts, they send them to everybody that's ordered, and then you can never get that shirt ever again. It's gone. It's done. So if you want the Squirrelicorn shirt, I'm going to make a point of not making another Squirrelicorn shirt. So if you want yours, you've got 4 hours and a little bit to get it. And then
they are signed and numbered and come in a commemorative box.
No, they don't. They're not anything. Well, they come in whatever they put them in to mail them. I'm sure it's not a box. It's probably one of those plastic.
I want to make things. It sound like the Legends of NASCAR.
Yeah, but it's not. And so if we decide to do another shirt, it will not be the Squirrelicorn. Or it won't be this version of the Squirrelicorn. So.
And they're scented of strawberries.
No. They are not.
So, can the next ones be scented?
No, probably not. 67, and I originally didn't think we'd even hit 30, which was the original goal. And I thought about, maybe 50, and then I was like, no way.
And if we do this again, you're going to feel the exact same way.
Of course,
I would. No, everyone who bought one already bought one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's how it works.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Oh, by the way, Alan, have you checked our iTunes reviews? How are we doing on that?
I have not checked our iTunes reviews.
Have people slacked off on the iTunes reviews? Because people need to do iTunes reviews. And we need to give us 5 stars and only 5 stars. And mention your love of Hog. And how you want more of it.
Let's see, iTunes Store. Don't everybody just sit there quiet and wait for me to figure
but this
out?
But yeah, because doesn't if we get like enough 5-star reviews, doesn't that mean that I get a yacht made out of cocaine?
No. It doesn't. Although Clark Pickens' score report is still going strong.
Yeah?
I
haven't listened to this week's yet.
But he has no ratings.
No ratings?
No ratings. You should give him a rating just so he can have one.
Well, I don't have iTunes.
Oh.
And I will never have iTunes.
Where is Cosmo?
Cosmo is... where the hell did he go? He was under my chair a minute ago.
It's a three-legged cat. How far can he go?
he's over there on the floor watching me.
Spitefully?
No, he's just adoringly for the most part.
Man.
Aww.
Your cat's weird.
I know.
Elizabeth Allen.
We have 27 reviews. The most recent being January 28th. So we haven't had a review since January 28th, which is shocking. But they are all 5-star reviews.
Yeah, so somebody dust off your review pencil or whatever, your review hat or your review wizard cloak, whatever you review with, and give us a 5-star review, because I want a yacht made of cocaine.
I like this one the most. Getting close to being my second favorite podcast. I love it.
Who wrote that one?
Somebody called SS Mockingbird Lane.
Huh.
I don't know.
That's an interesting name.
Man, close to second.
Well, because that's the Road Getters podcast's tagline, is he wants to be your second favorite podcast. Because he was kind of a spinoff of the Gun Dudes. And so he was like, okay, no one's going to like me as much as the Gun Dudes. So he wants to be the second favorite podcast. And so,
I don't know the Gun Dudes.
Yeah, I don't either.
They do a pretty big time. I don't know if they might be one of the number one gun podcasts. They've certainly been at it for a long time. And they're really funny. I highly recommend them.
Good. I'll check them out.
I have not been on there. I'd like to get on, but I'm kind of timid because I don't know how I would exactly fit in, because they're way more hardcore gunnies than I am.
Wow. More hardcore than you?
Because
you're like 100 times more hardcore than I am.
Well, yeah, but that's like, and I could be a million times more hardcore than you are. You're not hardcore, Alan.
No, I'm not at all.
You have a couple of guns.
Yeah.
And you open carry your rifle in Chipotle.
I do not.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. I actually heard on an actual terrestrial radio show where they were actually, I think it was like they had a restaurant sponsorship, and they were reading off some menu items, and the host is well known for butchering languages that are in anything but English, and he wasn't sure exactly how to pronounce Chipotle, and his host his producer actually corrected him, saying Chipotle.
Oh no!
Hilarious.
You know, because I thought you were talking about Joe Biden there until you got to the part about butchering everything but the English language, and I was like, oh well, that's not Joe, because he butchers the English language.
That's only because he doesn't know how to read or write.
Oh, man. So anyway, open carry.
Uncle Joe.
I guess we don't have a choice.
Yeah, we got to get into it. Come on. We are obligated, because this is kind of an interesting deal, because there's definitely two factors on it. I'm certainly split on it.
I am too.
On one side, I definitely have no problem saying that, like, these people that have been going in, the pictures that I've seen coming out of Chipotle and Jack in the Box and all of that are just, come on, guys. You know, they're You guys aren't open carrying. You're friggin' gun LARP. You're playing gun LARP. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, I'm someone who carries a gun. You know, damn near every day. And, you know, and so I've always got, you know, I'm always carrying my gun. But, you know, these people are all like, they've got their like crazy chest rigs and all their Molly gear and all that stuff. And they're just stupid bargain basement guns and just cheap Tapco shit and all that stuff. And they're just like.
So it sounds like you're being elitist.
Well, it's not that. It's just the fact that like.
Do you, when you see a Nova rolling down the street that's got the J.C. Whitney catalog stuck all across it, do you look down upon them?
Actually, no, I'm deeply amused by those. but I don't think it's right. I feel shame for that reaction. But the, I mean, it's, you know, I don't have a problem.
Because Tapco is like the gun version of the J.C. Whitney catalog, right?
It sure is. It sure is. And I've got nothing against Tapco, and I've got nothing against people that, you know, that tart up their rifle or do all that stuff. But you're getting like well beyond practical in that sense.
Okay, and did you say tart rifle?
Either one would qualify. I was referring to it as dressing up as a lady prowling for anything that moves.
Tart it up. All right, so let's do some background here real quick. This is all about open carry in Texas, which is currently illegal for modern pistols. It is mostly legal for rifles and shotguns. And I say mostly because like most states, there are some jurisdictions where the police will arrest you for carrying for basically not breaking the law. They'll make up some bullshit about, you know, disturbing the peace or whatever, you know, basically it goes back to the whole, you know, if the cop wants to arrest you, he'll find a reason and there's nothing you can do about it. So anyway, Texas does not allow open carry for modern pistols. Now they do also have a provision of open carry for antique pistols. Like the old cap and ball or flintlocks or stuff like that.
You can black powder.
Right. They are not currently illegal. Although, I've heard from a lot of reliable lawyerly types that is a theory that has yet to be proven out in court. There's not a lot of case law around the black powder gun thing. So anyway, Texas, the last few sessions, and the Texas legislature only meets every other year for a few months. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's an effective way to legislate and not screw stuff up.
Right. So for the past several sessions, people have tried to introduce a bill of that would allow open carry of modern pistols in Texas. And it started off rough. Last year, it almost made it. This year, surprisingly, it has the backing of the TSRA, which it never had before. So... not sure how that happened, and it's rather shocking that it did. But, you know, there's the old saying in Texas that no gun law gets passed unless it has the TSRA's endorsement behind it. And now that open carry, at least they're claiming they're behind it, then we might actually get open carry. In the meantime, there's a few open carry organizations that have kind of sprung up to rally the troops, I guess, or whatever they want to do. And they've been having these open carry walks and things like that, which for the most part, I think is a good idea because, you know, anytime you get a crowd of people in one place, you get some weirdos and you get some overly zealous people. And that's just political life. And they have flags and they have banners and they have handouts and flyers and stuff like that, and they talk to people and they walk up and down the street and they're visible, and they usually have a rifle slung across their back or they have a black powder pistol in their, you know, in a cowboy holster, and it's, you know, it's all fine. then every once in a while you get one of these overly enthusiastic people that wind up being the whole, you know, don't help my side, please. Like these guys that went into the Chipotle, the guys that went into the... I don't know. My attitude is, you know, it's one thing to walk down the street in a group, in an organized walk with, you know, a rifle across your back. It's another thing entirely to walk into a place of business carrying a rifle.
And carrying it directly in your hands in a
But I don't think they can walk in carrying it directly in their hands. I think they're just doing that posing for pictures.
Well, but either way, I mean, it's one of those things of the, you know, I mean, we've all done this. You know, you're at the gun shop or all that. And somebody mentions, mentions, oh, such and such a gun or such and such a carry rig, and you know, we've all seen it and or done it of the. Someone lifts up their shirt, opens their coat or something like that, and shows them the rig that they have. And that's perfectly cool and perfectly fine in that context.
Right. I mean,
it's, you know, it's context is key. But it would be a huge difference if somebody, instead of lifting up their shirt to show you the holstered gun, instead drew the firearm, cleared the holster and had the gun in their hands.
Yeah.
That would even in a gun shop where everybody's a friendly gunny type and all of that. And yes, we're talking about guns and they're even handling the unloaded guns, that are being handed across the counter.
Yeah.
But suddenly, as soon as somebody clears leather with a loaded gun,
that
puts people's teeth on edge.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time seeing any difference on it when somebody has a loaded or what a loaded rifle at low ready.
Yeah, it's kind of a social faux pas.
I would agree.
What do you think, yes, Amanda?
Well, okay, so I have met and had a couple of conversations with CJ Grisham, who started OCT, Open Carry Texas. And for those of you that don't know, he is the soldier at Fort Hood. And he's the gentleman that was with his son's Boy Scout troop that got arrested about a year and a half ago or so and had his rifle taken from him and the gun pointed at his head. You know who I'm talking about here in Texas.
Yep.
Nice guy. Really nice guy. So he started OCT here in Texas. And I've actually gone to an open carry event with them for Armed Citizen Project, but it was, you know, quadranted off and they had a lot of different speakers and everything. But no one was walking and going into businesses and no one was calling attention outside of our group. You know, it was, this is our rally and we're here and you're welcome to come and talk to us, but we're not forcing this upon you or down your throats. I have mixed emotions about it, but also CJ does as well, because he just put out a bulletin to all of the different city branches of OCT saying from now on, strictly black powder. He's tired of this shit. He's tired of people that, you know, the hangers-on that are doing it just to go out there and be assholes. And it's sending the wrong message. So if people are going to have an event, and he made the point, he's like, it should only be as noticeable as a watch. You know, yes, you want to have make people aware of it, but if you're in a business, it shouldn't be the first thing people see. So he put out these rules for doing it now, you know, let local law enforcement know what you're doing, only allow black powder guns, no more rifles and slings, because it's doing more harm than good. I have mixed emotions on open carry because the difference between open carrying a rifle and open carrying a pistol is a holster. And if I have a scabbard for my shotgun, I don't understand why they couldn't use that instead to make it a little less threatening. I heard read something the other day where someone had said someone's going to accidentally pull that trigger posing for stupid pictures and it's going to be a disaster.
Surely they're not loaded.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah. These guys, they all do want them loaded because that's their right.
Yeah, see, that's... Yeah, okay, here's the thing. And somebody mentioned this in the chat. You know, there's a reason you carry a loaded pistol with one in the chamber and in condition, you know, one ready to fire. And that's because you're carrying it for self-defense. And in a self-defense situation, you usually don't have, oh, wait a minute, sir, let me insert my magazine and rack the slide before you stab me with your shiv. Rifle's a whole different thing. I mean, we don't normally carry rifles unless we intend to use them. Like you're out hunting or you intend to shoot somebody in the immediate future.
Well, yeah, that's my general philosophy. And that's where I get my teeth on edge on this whole, you know, rifle thing is, I mean, you know, one of the things people always talk about in the whole open carry discussion is, you know, oh, you carrying that gun on your hip makes me nervous. Well, what about that dude right there in the nice blue uniform with the shiny silver shield on his chest?
Yeah, he makes me nervous too. Carry.
Well, I'm not at all bothered by a police officer with a visible sidearm any more than I'm bothered by somebody who's open carrying a pistol. You know, it's so long as they're not carrying it in some, you know, horrible nylon, you know, holster that just makes me go, you're a danger. That's, you know, that's not a good carry rig. So I'm curious on your judgment, but, you know, that's just safety and common sense there. But I've definitely been in several situations where I have seen police officers open carrying long arms. I mean, in my case, I think it's almost always been, the Boston PD has MP5s. And one instance, I knew why there had been a murder just above the subway station I was at, and they believe the suspect had fled into the subway station, and so they pretty much just sent out everyone. There was a bazillion cops in that station, and several of them had MP5s, and that made me nervous. And another time, I was at North Station in Boston, and there were two cops and a police dog just standing at a post near one of the exits with MP5s and their dog. I don't know what it was. I assume somebody had called in some sort of threat or something was going on, but I don't like that. That does not make me comfortable because it's one of those,
it's unsettling.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those all right. If you live in any, you know, place that has a moderately funded police department, every single police cruiser has you know, an AR-15 or something similar in the trunk of that car or in a roof rack or something like that. And I've got no problem with that. And that's the same thing with, you know, with my rifles is, you know, I can get my rifles ready to go, but they're not sitting in my safe loaded and chambered and essentially ready for me to quickly pull out because, you know, the old military saying of, you know, the only purpose of a handgun is to fight to your rifle. Well, that is the purpose of my handguns, is to fight to my rifle. Is I carry a handgun, and even if I could, you know, legally carry a rifle in Massachusetts, which I technically can but technically can't. You've all heard the story about why the hell that works. But but I wouldn't carry, you know, if I could carry a rifle to the grocery store, I wouldn't, because I want both hands to handle my groceries, and so yeah. I just prefer to carry a pistol.
We have a caller.
That, and it's one of those things of the, you know, if you want to carry a rifle in your trunk or get a roof rack or whatever you've got for securing a rifle in your car or something like that, that, you know, if all hell goes, you know, all hell breaks loose while you're in the grocery store, you can fight your way to your rifle and then deploy your rifle.
But, yeah, that sounds a little Mall Ninja-y to me.
Yeah, but it's one of those things of the, I mean, I don't do it because it's one of those, like, the biggest situation I can see where I would be going for my rifle is if suddenly a riot broke out in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Which I don't see happening in my neighborhood, but it could happen.
Yep.
But but it's one of those, like, all right, then I would, you know, then I would take my pistol down to my armory, and then, you know, unlock my rifle and then load it up, and then I'd be ready to go. You know, or, you know, an errant grizzly bear in the neighborhood.
We have a caller. Area Yay. Code 803. It's Bradley.
Yes, it is. How are you guys doing? Whoa.
And what happened, Alan?
Cat jumped on me.
I terrified the cat. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
On the gun LARPing thing, would it suddenly be okay if I dressed as Zed from Zardoz, played by Sean Connery?
No.
That would never be okay. even if you are completely unarmed.
In no circumstances would that ever be okay.
Yeah. Are you sure? Because I could do that uniform rather quickly.
Anyone could do that uniform rather quickly. It's essentially the same idea as Michelangelo, carving a sculpture. You just cut away everything that it's not Zardoz. But what I mean by the whole gun LARPing thing is it's one of those it used to be pretty much if you saw me, as I would say to people, if you see me with socks on, I'm carrying a gun. You know, unless I'm in my pajamas, I'm carrying a damn gun. You know, now that I am employed by a company that has a policy against firearms, I may go a whole day where I don't carry a gun because
you can't even leave it in the parking lot. Oh, I usually commute in on the train.
I could probably lock it in my car, though I wouldn't do that either. I actually don't like the idea of locking a firearm in a car because a car can easily be stolen.
Mm. Yeah, you know, but so.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I work at a location where I can't even have it locked in the car.
Don't you work on a base?
Yeah, he does.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good lord.
The ultimate in gun-free. I think prisons have more guns available.
They locked down Fort Hood again today, but nobody's talking about why.
Because they could. Hey, let's have a lockdown.
Something to do. They were bored.
They're doing a drill today, I bet.
But yeah, but it's the difference between me carrying a gun and me not carrying a gun is completely, you know, imperceptible because I mean I set up my carry rig around how I dress, and so therefore it's not like you can say, oh, he's got his shirt tucked in or he's got his shirt untucked or he's wearing a shoot me first vest or, you know, something silly like that. Oh, he's carrying a gun or he's not carrying a gun. Nope. I dress the same way every single day.
And that's the way it should be, I think.
Yeah. And you can't even tell, you know, unless it happens to be one of those days where I'm wearing just, a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, then yeah, you could probably guess that I'm pocket carrying something, but other than that, I've usually got something over my T-shirt, which would conceal my 1911 quite well. Whether I'm carrying the 1911 or not, it depends on the circumstances of that moment. But you're not going to see me, suddenly step out the door and, you know, BDUs with a Molly carrier and all this other crazy stuff. And I just that's just my issue with it is it's one of those these people don't when they're not going to an open carry event because they're not carrying these open carry events are just they're not open carrying every single day, you know, and so when they're not open carrying they're not dressed like this and they're not acting like this. Mm-hmm. and that's where I've got the problem is, you know, I've seen a bunch of open carry events where they either go to a park or something like that, or they go to a restaurant and if they're at a park, they contact the police and just say, just so you know, we're going to be having this open carry event. You know, here's what we expect of the people there, and we're going to be policing this part of it ourselves, just so I'd let you know. And then if it's at a restaurant, they will call and say, do you mind us having this event at your restaurant?
But you're also talking about open carry events with pistols for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's kind of the hard part. I mean, unfortunately, for Texas and Florida, I kind of almost want to say that you're kind of in the same situation as me here in Massachusetts is you kind of got to just sit back and, you know, you know, do what you can in a peaceful and quiet and, you know, non-attention getting sort of way, and just wait for, you know, wait for you to catch up. And the nice thing about it is that's not as futile a statement as possible, because most of the country allows open carry pistols in some sort.
Well, and in Texas, Oklahoma, well, for in the case of Texas, Oklahoma now allows it, which, you know, you don't live down here and you don't know what a big deal that is. For Oklahoma,
we cannot be showed out by Oklahoma.
There's a bunch of politicians
that Red River rivalry.
There are a bunch of politicians in Austin that didn't give a shit about open carry until Oklahoma allowed it, and now all of a sudden it's like, hey. But I think one thing was interesting. There's a podcast called I think it's called Open Carry Podcast. And I was listening to it specifically because he had a little roundtable session with C.J. Gresham, Charles Cotton, and Alice Tripp, who is the legislative lobbyist for the TSRA, the Texas State Rifle Association. And they were talking about the open carry bill and how the TSRA is supporting it and a little bit of the politics behind it and stuff like that. And basically they told C.J., you know, you got to stop these guys going all over the place like this with these rifles, because, you know, these politicians that are on our side are getting calls from their constituents, and by their constituents, the people, I mean, the people that donate the money to them, not, not, you know, just people on the street, because those people don't matter.
The check writers matter.
They're getting calls from people that write them checks going, man, what the hell is up with these, you know, can't you do something about these guys carrying their rifles and stuff? And they're like, you know, you gotta stop this. And CJ's like, look, those guys are not part of my organization. I can't stop them.
Yeah, but I mean, essentially what you're saying, and it's one of those things, I mean, look, you know, now all 50 states have concealed carry
of some sort,
which is the first, and I'm getting to that part, but it's one of those things of the, you know, the last two were Illinois and Wisconsin, and Illinois and Wisconsin are now shall issue states. They're like most of the other states. And so really states like, you know, Massachusetts and New Jersey and Hawaii and Maryland that are all goddamn horrible about issuing carry permits and essentially are now the states that are now, you know, states that essentially are the no carry states, even though they have a provision for carry, just nobody does it, are kind of just the old dinosaurs. But essentially the natural state of being of carry is shall issue. And, you know, the natural, you know, there's not quite a natural state for open carry just yet, because some places it's with permits, some places it's no permit required, you know, and, you know, odd, you know, there's a bunch, it's really kind of a piecemeal. But either way, the natural state of law is that open carry is an acceptable thing.
Right.
And so all you've really got to do is just keep pushing and just, you know, just keep lobbying, and eventually it'll, you know, eventually it's going to turn, because it's just the natural state of being.
Yep. That's the idea. Plus, and, it's – go ahead, Amanda.
Well, I was going to say it was just last year that they changed the concealed carry requirements, because there was an issue of an accidental reveal or imprinting that could get you arrested here in Texas.
Right.
And so they've just recently lightened that to in preparation for starting to push the open carry pistol agenda. Craig Estes is one of the politicians here in Texas that's really working to make it happen.
Yeah, so. It used to be any inadvertent or otherwise revealing of your pistol, or even printing was grounds for having your license revoked and maybe being charged with something. Now, now the imprinting thing is almost gone. It hardly even matters now, as long as the gun just has to be covered and not plainly visible, and there's the exposure is no longer it has to be intentional exposure before you're in trouble.
So you now you can reach and get something off the top shelf at Walmart and not have to worry about going to jail.
Right.
Yeah. Which by the way, this is go ahead.
That was one of the big things I liked about Washington is they allowed open carry like 2 or 3 years before I was able to carry, and I was following it because they were arresting people for, you know, you ride your motorcycle, your jacket rides up. Hey, that's, you know, brandishing was what Washington was calling it. You know, printing was being dealt with as brandishing. Thankfully, it was just a misdemeanor, so you didn't really lose anything, but, you know, money and possibly jail time.
Right. So,
and that's the reason why. I mean, I'm not an open carry person, and before you think I'm against open carry, I'll get to it. But I mean, I'm not an open carry person, and that's for two reasons. One is because I either carry in the pocket, which there's no open carry option. I can't open carry my pocket gun. It just doesn't work that way. And then the other way I carry is with a shoulder holster, which is just a fashion faux pas. If I was to not cover that thing up, I would definitely look like Don Johnson in Miami Vice.
And no, you wouldn't.
I would look exactly like Don Johnson in Miami Vice. I'd even
no, if yeah, I was open carry, on.
I would be smoking chain smoking Camel on or Lucky Strikes. Just to complete the look, but yeah, I mean it's just a fashion faux pas. I would feel silly open carrying in that unless I happen to be at an open carry event where everyone was doing it. In which case, I would not suddenly become a spectacle, which is not what I want. But another reason is I'm a Second Amendment activist, and I'm kind of a perfectionist on that, and I would hate to be hopping into a restaurant, grabbing my takeout order, or you know, waiting in line at the Home Depot or something like that, where an open carrying, and have somebody ask me a question, and I just want to pay my money and get the hell out of there and move on. But I would not want to let myself, if somebody expressed gave an opportunity for a teachable moment, I would want to take time out of my day to give that person what I think is some relevant information so that they can leave out of that experience with a positive experience instead of me going, yeah, cool, thanks, I got to go, bye. And they go, wow, he was kind of weird. What was his story? You know, take it the wrong way and have that be, you know, a net loss for our cause sort of idea. I like to control when the message is going on. And so I'm not open about the fact that I own firearms to every single Joe I talk to, and I'm not open carrying a firearm just anywhere and everywhere, because I want to be able to control my own message, and I want to be able to not get caught flat-footed in an instance where I might, you know, someone might want have some questions, might have some interest, might have some curiosity, and I'm going to be aloof because I just want to pay my money and get out of this store sort of idea. But even that, you've got the accidental exposure, you've got the printing. I mean, every gun prints. There's no such thing as a gun that doesn't print. You know, you might have something that prints so little that no one's going to know, but you know, you put your wallet and your keys in your pocket, it's going to print, you know, sort of idea. They may not know if you've got a wallet or keys or an iPhone or something like that in your pocket, but it's visible. And so the idea that someone could, oh, I suspect that you have a gun, and oh, I suspected right. Or, you know, every time I'm in like a Cabela's or something like that, I like to play spot how many people are carrying. And the only reason why I'm spotting people that are carrying is because I'm looking in the right spots and I'm in Cabela's. So I know that if I see someone that has a bulge on their right hip, I know that, you know, I know that they're, that's probably a gun sort of idea. And so in that case, I mean, open carry protects all of us who carry, is that it suddenly makes it so that if someone figures out that you're carrying, it's no big deal.
Hey, Amanda.
As one that likes to carry big-ass revolvers, you would have no problem guessing. Huh.
Amanda, you have your CHL now, right?
I do. I used it to early vote today, too.
Awesome. I don't want to hear that you carried a gun into a polling place.
No, I did not. Okay. But I used my CHL as my identification.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that works. It's a valid. I actually I have mine right next to my driver's license in my wallet, and I sometimes pull it out instead of my driver's license, and sometimes people look at me funny. But now, will you? Assuming Texas passes an open carry bill of some sort, will you open carry?
I like the option. There are some instances where you might want to let, you know, especially as a woman, I might want to let people know that I am armed. So I like that that's an option.
And I'm not beyond that either. If open carry was legal in Massachusetts, I probably would do it from time to time because there's
exactly.
Certainly been, I mean, I live in New England. The old saying is, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute, it'll change. There's been many a times where I've put on a sweatshirt over my gun, left the house, been gone for several hours, and over the course of the few hours that I was gone, it went from 50 degrees and cloudy to in the high 70s and sunny, and now all of a sudden I'm sweltering under this, and it would be nice to either, if not, take the sweatshirt off completely, at least unzip it where the wind might blow it open a little bit, where someone might get a glimpse of my gun. But who cares? It's legal.
Yep.
I bought my first concealed carry holster rig or whatever. I don't know the proper terminology. I'm still not comfortable with it. So the couple of times I've been carrying my 380 unloaded in it. Just to kind of get comfortable with it.
That's exactly what I did for like the first 4 months when I was at the house doing stuff around the house. I wouldn't even carry it outside because I felt, it would be shown, it would be heavy, it would be awkward. And so I got comfortable with it. That's what I did. I just carried an empty revolver and, rocked on.
Yeah, no, I did the exact. Well, I mean, I had several months before I moved to my current town, where I had everything I needed to carry, except for I was not licensed to carry because I lived in the wrong town, and that's exactly what I did. Was I carried it home, which is legal, and at first I would just carry it, the gun either empty or with a dummy round in the chamber. And that was just I put my 1911 in the holster and walk around all afternoon in the house. And at the end of the day before I went to bed, I'd take the gun out. And if the safety was still on and the hammer was still back, well, obviously it's not a danger. And then also I would halfway through dinner, I'd take my sweatshirt off and show my wife that I was carrying a gun, and she'd go, "Oh," and that was showing me that, no, I'm not printing. No, it's not obvious. Yes, I can stand in front of the mirror and I can see every last piece of that gun because I know exactly where it is and what it is. But my wife could not. So, therefore, it was a good concealment rig.
Yep.
Well, from what I understand, we're supposed to be able to conceal carry at the Texas State Republican Convention in 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Yep. Well, let us know.
I'll be there. I'll be armed.
Okay.
Because I made sure I got a room with a safe just in case.
I guess it might be the circle of friends I hang out with. I always think everybody's armed because I am, and all my friends, got CPLs and whatnot. Even when I went to Idaho recently, everywhere I went, I was always around people with arms.
Yep. Well, we're way over, so thank you for calling in, Bradley.
Not a problem. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Good night.
And our one caller, I'm very disappointed in all of you who didn't call in.
You have to go to the naughty corner.
That's right. Let's see. What is our shirt count up to by the end of the show? Is anybody? No, we're still sitting at 67. So with 3 hours
Losers.
And 47 minutes left. Actually, that's more than twice as many as I thought we'd ever sell. So I'm very pleased with that number. I hope they're good shirts, and I hope everybody enjoys them.
I have a shirt through there that I'm happy with.
Good.
So it should be fun.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us, Amanda. It was great having you on again.
Always my pleasure.
And weird, same.
I don't like it here.
Glad you could make it.
You don't like it here.
I was under duress.
Yeah. I held a gun to his head the whole time.
Why is a squirrely corn not on a onesie?
Because you can actually do it, but it has to be as a whole separate thing, and it's expensive.
And I only have one baby.
But yeah. I know other people with babies that need squirrely corns.
Well, I don't know.
That's what you can issue next time.
That's a limited market. That may be something you want to just like do the iron-on print thing or something. I don't know. Anyway, we need to hang up.
Okay.
People are bailing out of the chat and hanging up on us. Those guys are boring. I'm getting out of here.
All right. Well, thanks, y'all.
All right. And everybody have a good weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. So remember your veterans and all that.
This weekend at the Museum of Natural Science, they're setting up the whole front lawn to look like a World War II camp with the howitzer and
fun.
Some big trucks and a tank, a single track or something. I don't know all the names. Lots of military stuff.
Fun.
So that
sounds like fun.
Check it out.
Yep.
I know me and Mother are going to go up there
and play and with
the howitzer. Get some.
If you live in the state of Massachusetts and you're at one of the memorials services where they have the 21 gun salute and all of that, even though they'll just leave the spent blanks on the ground, it is illegal for you to pick them up because my state's stupid.
They all are. All right, everybody, have a good weekend. See y'all next week, and bye.
Good night.
Night.